family. Welcome to Church News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so happy that you have joined us today. Caleb, what do we got?
Baptism is a powerful next step for those who have given their lives to Jesus. It is a public declaration that your old life is gone and you're living new in Christ. It is through baptism that we share in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, celebrating the new life that he has given us. If you've decided to follow Jesus but haven't been baptized, now's the time. Scan the QR code to sign up, and we can't wait to take this next step with you.
Our annual Turkey Tuesday service is happening on Tuesday, November 25th at 7 p.m., replacing our usual Wednesday evening service on the week of Thanksgiving. It's the perfect way to kick off the holiday season with your church family. There will be full youth and children's church, so bring your whole family and join us Tuesday instead of Wednesday that week.
So Good News Spotlight today is kind of wrapping up our Counterfeit Truth series. And we have a member in the congregation who came with a praise report. And he said this, he went into work on a typical day and was brought in with some others and told that he's going to get a substantial pay increase and extra vacation time added. Now, this is not something he expected to happen based off performance, but it was literally the favor of God because he is a tither and a giver. So I want to encourage you, if you are believing God for increase, keep believing God and using your faith. What he's done for one, he will do for all.
Hey everyone, Pastors Randy and Nicole here, and we want to personally invite you to our Christmas Eve candlelight service.
Christmas is a time for family and friends. It's a joyous time. It's a time of reflection and remembrance. So come on out, because we want to celebrate with you and remember that Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen. Now our service times will be 4 p.m. or 6 p.m. So bring your friends, your family. If you don't have family, we will be your family. That's December the 24th. We hope to see you then, and Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Heart of the House is coming up during our 10 a.m. service on November 30th. This is our yearly family update, where we look back on all that God has done over the past year through stories, testimonies, and financial updates, while also sharing the vision for what's ahead. This service won't be live streamed, as we want you, our church family, to be here to hear this information first. Children's Church through middle school will still have their regular services, so make plans to be here on November 30th for Heart of the House.
Here at Only Believe, we know that prayer changes things, and that is why we do First Saturday Prayer at the beginning of each month. This one-hour gathering is a time where we can come and seek God, hear an encouraging word, worship, and pray, both corporately and personally. We will also have prayer cards that you can get down at the altar where you can pray over the needs of others in your church family. So set your reminders and bring a friend, and we cannot wait to see you there for First Saturday Prayer.
And as always, for more information or if you have any questions, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby, and our team will do the best they can to help get you all the answers there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds as we get into God's Word today.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. What, did you say something? Oh, yay. All right. Praise God. Everybody happy this morning? All right. It's good to see everybody's smiling faces, the ones I can't see without the cameras in my, or the lights on my face. What's going on? I'm Pastor Randy, one of the senior pastors here at Only Believe Church in the big metropolitan city of Bakken, Ohio. If you're new here, I'm glad you came. Also, we have been doing a series for the last 3 weeks on counterfeit truths. And yeah, it's talking about money. So if you say, every time I come to church, all I hear them preach about is money, then you only come once a year, because that's all we do. Once a year, we go in depth when it comes to money, because God cares about it. Jesus talks about it. So 2,000 scriptures talking about it. So we need to talk about it. And so that's what we do once a year. And this is the year we do it. And then, of course, next week, this is the last week for Counterfeit Truths, and the next week, we will be doing Heart for the House, and that is, again, where we give each of one of you guys a cool little booklet that talks about everything that we've did in the last year, what God has done, and where all the money is going, and things of that nature. So we want to be very transparent with you. Amen? Okay, very good. So, Counterfeit Truths, we've been talking about that, and let's see, Pastor Nicole started it out 3 weeks ago, if you were here. And the counterfeit truth is that, you know what? We can serve money and God. It's okay. We can do it both. It'll be fine. That was what she started out with. And then, of course, we know that you can't serve God and mammon. And mammon simply means wealth or riches or material possessions. And then I continued with the counterfeit truth on tithing, which was amazing. You need to go back and listen to that one. That was awesome. And then Pastor Tim discussed the counterfeit truth of money will make you happy. Make you happy. You know, one thing when he was talking about this, he said, I'm going to talk about it. I said, you know what? You ought to show them. And he didn't. He didn't listen to me, which was fantastic. But you ought to go up and show all those billionaires and millionaires who've committed suicide because money made them so happy. And lots of them do. So money doesn't make you happy. So it might for a season, but sin also makes you happy for a season, but it won't. So that was that. And then, of course, we are going to be finishing it up today with, I will give to God when I have more. Somebody's already laughing. I will give to God when I have more. Well, listen, if you haven't watched any of those other services, then you can go any to our media platforms. Get on there and watch those services. And if you don't know how to get onto any of our media platforms, you go right out there to those center doors at the Welcome Center, and they will show you how and answer all your questions that you have. Well, that might be a counterfeit truth too, but you know, they might answer most of them. I hope so that they'll have the answers for you out there. All right, everybody say amen. All right, make sure you all awake here this morning. Praise God. All right, so let's see. Where do I want to start here this morning? I also want to say that this might be a short message. It might not be long, but it will be strong. All right, because, man, we had, you know, I am still in Friday and Saturday's mode. We had a service that was just amazing, a freedom conference, basically. It was our first one we ever had. People that have gone through all kinds of things, went through our small groups for 12 weeks, and we had our first Friday and Saturday conference, and man, people were set free, delivered. Man, God did some amazing things, and I'm just stirred up in that still because of what God did Friday and Saturday for people. Man, God cares about people. So we're going to finish up today anyhow with counterfeit truths, and whatever happens, happens. Praise the Lord. We try to give everything to him and let him do what he wants to do. All right, so if you are on the fence about money and have listened these last 3 weeks on counterfeit truths, then I want you to think about this question as we teach this today. And again, the subject today is, I will give to God when I have more. So my question I want you to think about as we're talking through this today is this. How much money do you need before God becomes the priority? How much do you need before I say, okay, God, I'm going to start listening to you, I'm going to start obeying you, and I'm going to start giving to you? How much do you really need? That's the question I want you to think about this morning. And I want to start out by saying that there is a study. And there's more than one study after study after study, not just in America, but around the world, shows something almost impossible to believe. People who have less money give more of it away, which is proportionately to those who have more. They don't give as much. It's an astounding fact that that happens. And the studies prove it over and over and over again. So the wealthier the person is, the studies have shown, and not everybody, remember there's not everybody, but a lot more than you would think, the wealthier a person is, the greedier they are. I'm like, you're kidding me. But every study shows it. And the person that don't have much, they give even more. So it's ridiculous. And to prove that, I just want you to watch this video. It shows you a little bit about what I'm talking about.
What's up, guys? I'm Kobe Person. Today we're headed to the streets of New York City with a suit made of money and a sign that says, take what you need. Let's see how New Yorkers react. You really need this money? It doesn't look like you need this.
I don't need it, but it's free. I wouldn't take it. Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Wait, is it really clean?
Yeah, if you need it. You have a Louis Vuitton bag. You really need this?
Yeah, I have a nail appointment tomorrow.
So where were we at? Okay. Where?
Here's a dude walking around. I don't even need it.
You don't need it, but you're taking it? Is that a real Givenchy bag?
Yeah.
Oh, help yourself. Good.
He's joking, man. Manuela.
Wow, isn't that crazy? You know, and if you watch video after video after video, it's the same response no matter where you go. Whether it's New York, California, anywhere, it's the same response. It's so crazy to me. People that look like that they should be holding on to everything are the ones that's giving. And the people that should be giving are holding on to everything. It's crazy, and it's insane. And that's what we call, or what the world would call, the generosity paradox. It's insane that many times the least give the most, and the most are the greediest. It's insane. It's crazy. That's why we're talking about this today. A paradox is seemingly absurd, or self-contradictory statement, or proportion that when is investigated or explained may prove to be well-founded or true. You wouldn't think that that's what would happen, but once you see it, you're like, wow, it is true. It's ridiculous that it's just a paradox that it happens that way. So why do many of us who genuinely love God, who serve him, who read their Bible, why do they say, when I get more, I will give? When? It feels responsible, I understand that. It sounds wise, maybe a little mature. It even sounds spiritual. But we're waiting for the right moment. Yeah, we're waiting for the right moment to give. When God tells me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey him when he says something. Well, listen, his word's talking all the time. We don't have to hear a voice. We read the word. That is his voice. So it's just crazy. But you got to realize something. Not everything that feels wise is truth, okay? And not everything that feels responsible is biblical. And I'm sorry, but thinking that you will give more when you get more is a lie that looks true, it feels true, and even sounds true. But that type of thinking will lead us away from God. It will not bring us to God. It'll always lead us away from God. Everything we do in our flesh will always lead us away from God and not to him. So it sounds as crazy as someone saying, if you give me a raise, then you know what? I'll work hard. So you go in, you get your job, the very first job, you walk in, and the boss sees you, and he's met you for the first time, and you're like, yo, boss, you know, listen, man, my name's Randy, I'm glad to be here, thanks for the job. I want to let you know that if you give me a raise, I'll work hard, man. I'll work so hard, you can lay that dude off, and that dude off, and that dude off. What in the world are you talking? What is that guy going to tell him? He's going to say, you're fired, you're nuts, you're on something, get off of it. No, you go work and show me that you need a raise. And you may get one. You know what I'm saying? It's the opposite. And that's the way the world thinks. It's crazy. So you work harder, then you might get a raise. If you want God to bless your finances, then you need to let your finances bless God first. Pastor Jared said it right. You do this, he can't bless this. But when you do this, he will bless it. If you're holding on to something, he's not going to be able to do anything for you. You have to let it go. And then he will, yes, put something back in your hands. Are you with me? Okay. All right. So if people with less can be generous now, why do we believe that when we need more, before we can trust God? It's insane. These counterfeit truths that we have went over, such as you can love money, money will make you happy, forget about giving God the first fruits, and I will give more when I have more, is what the devil uses, hoping we believe those counterfeits, which will delay our obedience to God and hopefully not obey him at all. That's what the devil wants for you and I, not to obey. He doesn't want us blessed. The enemy doesn't tempt us with obvious lies. He tempts us with believable lies. Counterfeit truths. Remember, he can't build anything or make anything. All he does is counterfeit something, copies something, and makes it look so good that we'll believe it. It's like fishing. Lincoln has done this fishing, and he's now fishing all over the place, and he does all this fishing, and he makes all these amazing little things. I don't know what he calls them. What do you call those things? Flies, the other flies or whatever. But he went online and did a 30-minute fly-making session. I'm like, what? I couldn't believe people were watching that. But he's making everything look so real, but yet it's so fake. But yet those fish, he's catching them, and hold pictures like this. It's phenomenal. And the devil does the same exact thing to us. It looks so real, but it's so counterfeit because he doesn't want us to be blessed, and we fall for it all the time. We do. Remember, counterfeits are statements that sound true, but just false enough to limit our faith. Limits our faith. False enough not to trust God. Almost like a spiritual paralysis, you could say. You don't go backwards, but yet you don't go forwards. You're just stuck where you are. It's almost like what's going to happen here, I think, Friday or Saturday. We're supposed to get some snow after Thanksgiving, and all the snowbirds go, yay! You know, you get in a snow drift, and oh no, you put the car in forward, you can't go anywhere, you put it backwards, you can't go anywhere, you're just stuck. That's what counterfeit truths do to us. We don't go nowhere, we're just stuck. You could say it this way: counterfeit truths won't destroy your faith overnight, but they will starve it slowly. Starve it slowly. How many people you know that are stuck in their relationship with God? Believing the not yet. And of course, they dry up spiritually. It dries up because they begin to get comfortable in the not yet. Comfortable. And being comfortable never produces spiritual breakthrough. Comfortable doesn't do anything, as a matter of fact. I think the word comfortable should be a Christian cuss word, like the word process. Never liked the word process. that I'm standing on is because somebody needs to hear it. Counterfeit truths have power because a stingy giver can call themselves wise. I mean, wise with my money. Yeah. A disobedient believer can call themselves responsible. And a fearful believer can call themselves practical. Just being practical. And the counterfeit truth will keep you out of the very miracle God is trying to get you into. And the devil knows that. He knows it. He doesn't want you to obey because he doesn't want God to step into your situations and push you out of the stuck moment that you're in. Wants you to stay stuck. How many of you want to stay stuck? All right, nobody. Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. Okay, so back to money. Generosity isn't a money issue, it's a trust issue. It's a trust issue. We have all said it. Lord, when I have more, I'll give. We've all said it. I've said it. When I have more. Yeah, it's a tough week. Man, I had bills I didn't know that was coming. You always have bills that you didn't know that was coming. The devil makes sure of it. You know, we've all done it. And I think that's Christianese for check back with me later, God. I'm going to be okay. You know I'm going to. You know my heart, Lord. I'm going to. I promise. But, you know, this week, it's going to be okay. I'm going to. We've all done it. And then later becomes next month. Next month becomes next year. And here we are still stuck, going nowhere, wondering why, believing the counterfeit truth that when I get more, I will give. I promise. Wow, it's pretty quiet in here. Okay. All right. And now we're comfortable in the stuck. Remember, it's faith that pleases God. It's faith that pleases God. I don't think you could put the word faith and comfortable in the same sentence. Or can you? Let's see. Yeah, you can. Comfortable can lead to lukewarm faith. There you go. You can put it together. I don't think God likes the word comfortable or lukewarm. As a matter of fact, what he says with the town of Laodicea is, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He doesn't like it. He wants you to be cold or hot. And I don't mean cold in the fact, hello, may I help you? And I don't mean the fact that cold, I want you to sin. It's not what it means. No, and that's a whole other story and a whole other message. Anytime I have ever been comfortable in my faith, sometimes I don't get stuck. Sometimes I just go backwards. You know, when our daughter was diagnosed and with whatever it was and Down syndrome and all that stuff, and they said, you know, you can have an abortion now. You don't have to go through this. You know, I'm going to tell you, your mind is so ridiculous and it will go against you. Because as sickening and as horrible as this might sound, but part of your flesh says, that sounds like a reasonable thing to do so I don't have to go through all this. So I don't have to raise something that is going to cost me something and that may be a hindrance or a thorn my entire life. A thought will go through your mind like that. I'm a Christian. That wasn't my thought. But part of it will happen, and you got to stop and not stay stuck in that. You can't get comfortable in anything when you're fighting the fight of faith. I didn't get comfortable for 1 second. When we got in the car, we started to cry. And after we cried, I said, okay, it's time to fight. We're not going to stay stuck in this thing. And that's when we got scripture verses, and all we did was speak faith. We never got comfortable for a second, because the devil's never going to get comfortable. He'll get comfortable maybe when he sees that you're flailing a little bit. But ultimately, he's there to do what? Kill and destroy. He wants to see you completely destroyed. But when he sees you starting to get comfortable, okay, I got them right where I want them. They're believing the counterfeit truth. That's great. Now let's go from there. It's dangerous Dangerous. So let's debunk this counterfeit truth of I will give when I get more. We all know the story of the woman in the Bible that completely broke the myth that generosity begins with abundance. And that's found in Mark chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles there, you can turn to Mark chapter 12. Your iPhones, your iPads, or again, as I always say, you can use your eyelids because it'll be up on the screen for you too. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, it says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money in the treasury. And many who were rich put in much." Verse 42. "Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" This woman put in the smallest amount of money in the whole room. But Jesus said she gave more than everyone because she gave out of her poverty. She rejected the counterfeit truth that says, "I will give when I have more." Again, she broke the myth that generosity begins with abundance. She didn't wait for more to trust God. She trusted God with what she had. And that became more in Jesus' eyes. So much more that he brought the disciples over. And I'm sure some of them were like, "What's the big deal, Jesus? This is ridiculous." No, because it had to deal with the heart. Ultimately, when we say, "I will give more when I get more," it really has to do with, yes, trust and the heart. It really does. It really does. And even though the Bible doesn't say it, you know because of the word and what he does for us that that woman got blessed somehow. Somehow, some way, she got blessed. And the Bible just doesn't talk about it. I wish it would, but it didn't. In the next story, Jesus went over the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because of the signs and wonders and miracles that he performed. Jesus looked at the crowd because he saw that they were hungry. Now, I mean, I don't know how many's in here today, but this place sits 3,000 people, 2,800 people. Well, there's over 5,000 people that followed Jesus because of the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that he did. And it was more than 5,000 people. That was 5,000 men. It didn't talk about the women and the children that were following the men as well. They say over 15,000 could have been following Jesus. And so he turned around, went up the mountain, he saw this vast amount of people. How many are hungry in here today already? Look at all the hands going up. Man, it's crazy. Think about 15,000. And you know every child was hungry because they're always hungry. They're wanting food now. And he looks at Philip, the Bible says. He's like, "Yo, where can we get some money to buy bread for all these people so they can eat?" Again, I can't imagine being Philip looking at Jesus like, "What are you talking about?" I mean, yeah, we got, and I proved this many, 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 many months ago. They had about $16,000 in his little pocketbook in the ministry fund. And so Philip's like, if we bought all we had and gave all the money out of the ministry, they'd only get a little bit and it wouldn't satisfy. And so in John 6:8, it says here, "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There's a lad here," or a little boy, "who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but asks, 'What are they among so many people?' And then Jesus said to make the people sit down. Now there were much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers, about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted." Now, there's so many more lessons in this passage of scripture than just one. This past Wednesday night, I talked about giving thanks, and we're going to finish it up this Tuesday night. There's no church Wednesday. It's Tuesday because of Thanksgiving. So don't forget, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. we're going to be giving some thanks. But last Wednesday, I taught on thanks. And the Bible talks about giving thanks in everything. Paul talked about it. Give thanks in everything. He didn't say, give thanks for everything. I'm not going to go give thanks that I wrecked my car today. God, I thank you that my car is wrecked. I thank you that my arm has been severed in half. I won't have to work for the rest of my life, God. Thank you for this. No, it's not what he says. But we have to thank God in it. We thank God in everything. God, I know that in this situation, you are going to come out of this. You're going to help me somehow, some way, God. I thank you for bringing that ambulance guy that can put my arm back together, Father. We thank God in everything, but not for everything. In this situation, Jesus wasn't thanking God. God, I thank you that I don't have enough. First come, first serve. No. He thanked God in the lack that he had. And what, you want to preach this? You coming up here? Come on up here, man. We'll do this together, baby. Come on. And he thanked God for what he had. I mean, you took it right out of my mouth, which is beautiful. We're one, baby. We're one. For what he had. And when he thanked God for what he had, then God did the miracle. And that's what he does for you and I. We're not thankful for all the bad things that he does. We're thankful in them that he's going to do something that's going to help us through them. And that's what Jesus did right here. He gave thanks in his lack. And then God did the miracle and multiplied. So much that they ate whatever they wanted to. Whatever they wanted to. And they were full, the Bible said. It also shows that what I have is not too small to make a difference. It's not too small. That miracle didn't happen with abundance. It started out with surrender. Woo, another word. Surrender. That little boy had to give up his lunch. Now, I don't know about you, but little boys don't give up lunches. Especially to a stranger, you know, that he didn't know. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, all my friends, they weren't giving me their lunches, no matter if I was hungry. It's like, go get your own, fool. You know, I'm like, whatever. When it comes to food, man, people get crazy. They really, have you ever been, I don't know why this is coming up. Anyhow, have you ever like went out to eat with your wife, you know, at dinner time, and of course she orders something different, and then you order something different, and the next thing you know, you just, you know, while she's eating, you just take your fork, you go over, and you just get in you. That's really good. And the next thing you know, you look over and she's glaring at you. Just glaring. And you're like, and then you look over, what? What? I thought we were one. Huh? I thought we're in unity here. Gee, I didn't know that this was your last meal you were going to eat before you die. I mean, it's what they act like. You know, this is my food. Don't touch my food. What is going on here? Jeez, food is crazy, you know. But little boy, he had to surrender that food first. And again, the Bible didn't talk about what happened, but I'm sure God blessed that little boy somehow in his family. I'm sure he did. I know he did, even though the Bible didn't talk about it. I'm sure he did. All right, let's see here. Let's go on from that. Oh, where am I at? I lost it. Then Jesus said to make the people sit down, and now, yep, okay, I got you there. Okay, we're good there. We're good there. Where did my message go? What am I doing? I messed it all up when I did what I did. Okay, let me go back here, guys. Sheesh. Didn't Tim do this Saturday? Or somebody did? Yeah, somebody did. All right, now we're good. Okay, because there was much grass. He sat down, he gave thanks, he distributed to the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as many as they wanted. There is actually, and then I said there's actually more lessons here, and then Wednesday night I talked about that, and then I talked about this, and I talked about the food, and I'm like, okay, I'm back on track. Hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. John, are you ready to write something down today and help me out of this mess? Are you ready? All right, here's what you write down. God can never multiply what you hold on to. But he will multiply what you give. Just what Pastor Jared said today in the offering. He will never and can never multiply what you hold on to. It's impossible. He's waiting for you to take the first step. And then he can do something when you let go and give. Did you get that down, John? Okay. All right. I think I'm supposed to put that, yeah, on the screen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, I know Tim also last Sunday, he shared this story last week, but it is so profound that it needed brought up again. And that is what the Macedonian churches did in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1. And he delivered it beautifully. But as I read it, I said, man, this has to be read again because it is so profound. Paul was taking up that offering to support the Christians in Jerusalem. And to his surprise, these people gave despite their own hardships. It says in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 2 through 4, he said that in great trial and affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, listen to these words, deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberty. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency, or begging, in other words, that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In verse 5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. What does that mean? That means they totally trusted or opened their hearts up to God first. Wow, that's so powerful. They're in poverty, deep poverty. And yet they said, God, what we have is yours. These other people are in need as well. So we're here to give. Please allow us to give. Paul may have looked at him and said, you know what, y'all are okay. You know, I'm going to look at these guys over here. And they, no, let us. I beg you, Paul, let us give something. They begged him out of their deep poverty. Wow, that is just powerful. How many of us do that today? Yeah, this is not just about financial giving, but a deeper commitment to live according to God's will and not their own will. We've talked about this the last month. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's not about our will. We want God, what God wants, and He wants us to bless other people. This is basically like the video that we saw just a second ago. That would be like that guy with the sign, take it if you need it, and that guy with the dog living on the street with his tent, reaches in his pocket, gives out his 50 cents, and gives it to the guy who said, take it if you need it. Paradox, blows the sinner's mind, blows the world's mind, because all they think about is take, take, take for us four and no more. But that's what they did. Be like that guy giving instead of taking it off his jacket. Bro, you're homeless, you need it. I know, but somebody else needs it more than me. Bam, mind blown. That's what these people did. It had to just blow Paul's mind that this happened. If Jesus would have been standing there, he'd have said, I have not seen such faith in all my life. Because that was so powerful. Powerful. These people were in great affliction, deep poverty, and gave even beyond their ability. And as Pastor Tim said last week, they begged to give. It said they implored with much urgency. They definitely rejected the counterfeit truth that says, I will give when I have more. Whew. Wow. You know, check back next year. Not for these people. They had great faith. And they didn't wait for conditions to change or improve before they obeyed. Wow. Wow. That's the generosity paradox. Generosity doesn't depend on wealth. It doesn't depend on wealth. These people prove it of what they did. There was also a poor widow in Zarephath in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, verses 10. And it says here that Elijah arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Hey, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "Well, as the Lord God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son, and that we may eat and die." I look at that and I'm thinking, she was that bad of a cook? Wow, my gosh, it's crazy. And in verse 13, it says, "And Elijah said to her, 'Don't fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son.'" And in verse 15, she tells Elijah that if I had more, I would, but I don't. So buzz off and let my son and I eat in peace and die. What do you mean, no? No? Elijah said to her, "Don't fear and go." So she said, "What in?" These translations, I got to get rid of these translations. The New King James Version says, "So she went away." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Wow. That woman was preparing her last meal, and there was no more coming. But she didn't wait. She listened to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is here. We read it every week. "Give and it shall be given. Not wait till I get more and give." She didn't wait. Giving made no sense in any of the stories that we just read. It didn't make any sense. Yet obedience locked every one of the miracles for those people. Miracles that the Bible doesn't even talk about, but happened. They happened. Now, there's a story in 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, where there was a very rich man named Nabal. He had a business in Carmel, and David sent his young men to go ask for food and drink for his men. He had 600 men, okay? And when he sent the guys to go ask for food and water and stuff, Nabal, the very rich man, reviled his men, basically insulted them. And when David heard about it, David was young, vigilant. He said, took 400 men. He said, "Get your swords on. Let's go. They're all dead." Basically, that's what he said. "They're dead. You ain't insulting me," is what he said. But one of Nabal's workers was very smart and ran to Nabal's wife. The wives, baby, they're always... In verse 14, this dude goes to Nabal's wife, Abigail, and says, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us," in other words, David's men, "and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we were in the fields. They actually were a wall to us both by night and day, and all the time we were there, we were there keeping our sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, Abigail, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household." In other words, we're all going to die. "For he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him." And as the story goes, Abigail grabbed some maids, took tons of food, and took it and sent it out before her. "Go, go, take it all, go, go." And then she came out, and when she saw David, she bowed on the ground. Man, what a woman. And she looked at David and said, "Listen, let this be on me, what my husband has done and said." Wow. I think I would have said, "David, it's not me. I brought the food. Go get him." But she didn't do that. "It's me. Put it all on me." Wow, what a woman. That's phenomenal. Nabal's stinginess cost him his life. He died with wealth, but no honor. None. Abigail saves the day through generosity and wisdom. Our wives have wisdom, men. lots of it. And all the men said, and all the men said, oh, that was, God, on behalf of all the men, amen, our wives have wisdom. Praise the Lord. Okay. That counterfeit truth that I will give more when I have more even affects those that have plenty. It affects those that have plenty. The stingy says, I need more first. But the generous person says, Lord, here's what I have. It's yours. Take it. Do what you want with it. Amen, sister. Now, if you're out there and you are one of the ones that have said, I am waiting for more before I give, again, my question is, how much more do you need before you give? That's the question today. If you will trust God with what you have, even if it's little, you will see God move in your life. You will. Band, if you'll come up right now, and if everyone would please stand to your feet, and prayer team, come on up here as well. I told you it wouldn't be that long, but it'd still be strong. As you're standing, I want you to think about what I'm saying here this morning. If we're honest with ourselves, some of us have spent the last 4 weeks saying amen, praise the Lord, to the truth being told from God's word, but are still living by its counterfeits. If you're going to be honest with yourself, we have. We have believed the lie that we are entitled. We have convinced ourselves that we can serve God on Sunday and serve mammon on Monday. Loyalty to Jesus cannot be shared. Cannot be shared. We've excused disobedience by saying first fruits and tithing doesn't matter anymore. Listen, obedience doesn't or didn't die with the old covenant. And we preached that 2 weeks ago. We've chased money, hoping that it would make us happy, but true joy cannot be bought. True joy comes from the inside. Hallelujah. And we have told God, I will give when I have more, while waiting for a moment that never comes. Never comes. Most of the time, trust and obedience will not be convenient. As you saw through the scriptures that we just read, it's never going to be a good time. Sounds like my granddaughter. Today you have the choice to cancel the lies of the devil for every counterfeit truth that has robbed you of trust, stolen your obedience, silenced your faith, and has kept you stuck. Today's the day to say no more. I'm done. And as long as you're hanging on the devil's counterfeit truths, you will never step into God's abundance. With money or with health or with your whatever he wants you to do, any area. God wants the best for you. He wants abundance for you. But again, we have to take the first step. So if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart this morning, I want you to come down and I want you to pray with our prayer team. Pray with our prayer team. Repent for every lie that you have believed. Those lies must die today. We did this Friday night. We did this Saturday. The lies of the devil must die. In order for them to die, we must take the first step and repent for believing the lies, the counterfeits. It ain't your fault. The devil's good at what he does. But when you hear the truth will set you free. If you'll obey and take that first step, you'll be set free. Hallelujah. Release every excuse and return to the truth of God's word. And allow those counterfeit truths to die and real freedom to begin to work in your life. So we're going to take a minute or so. The band's going to sing here, and I want you to come down to this prayer team, and I want you to pray. I want you to repent. They're going to pray with you, and God's going to do something miraculous in your life. Your stuck will be gone. It will be over. The snow will melt, and your car will move again. In other words, amen. Now listen to me closely before you begin, band. Believing I will give when I have more is the same spirit that says, I'll surrender to Jesus when my life is right. Another counterfeit truth. It's a lie from the devil. I'll surrender my life when I stop struggling, when things calm down, when I fix my life, when I get my life in order. Again, the time will never come. Here's the deal. It's a counterfeit truth. Jesus says, come to Jesus so he can put our lives together. We're never going to have our life together and then come to Jesus. Not going to happen. Because then we'll think we did it and we won't need Jesus. You see where I'm going? So if you're here today and you've not received Jesus, or you've went away, you've hit some other counterfeit truth, I want you to come down. I want you to see me. And we're going to pray a prayer of repentance. We're going to get your life back in order. So band, go ahead, sing our song. And then come down to the prayer team, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sing it out.
All my life you have been faithful.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am faithful. Oh, I will sing of the greatness of Christ. All my life you have been faithful.
Don't believe that lie. Come on now. Of the goodness of God. One more time.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able,
every breath I will sing of the goodness. My God. All right. Okay. That means all of you have denied the counterfeit truth that I will wait till I have more. So we're going to put it to the test today. Put it to the man. There's always a test. God always tests us. Yes, he does. Can I have one bucket out here, please? One bucket. Trash can, bucket. I don't care what it is. Bring it out here, Nicole. Thank you. Jason, we got it. We got it. That's okay. Thank you. A little trash can. It's all right. I'm going to put it right here. There's somebody here in the church today that they have no place to live, and they have a place to live? 8 people in one house. Okay. And they need a deposit in first month's rent, right? To move out of the place and get their own place. So out of our abundance, out of faith, we're going to do what the Bible did, what Paul did, and we're going to give for this need, and we're going to do it first. She needs $2,200, okay, and we always give first, so you already know what we're giving. So all you guys don't need to give any of your money at all. No, it's okay. It's okay. Come up here. Use your microphone. Now, remember though, yesterday when
I didn't even finish the story.
Listen, this is how they were in Corinth, okay? But listen, remember yesterday we were driving home and I looked at you and I said, I believe God is telling me I should put a bucket down front. Remember I said that?
For something.
And I didn't do it. And then you come and said, hey, there's a need that has to happen.
Yeah, but I said, Lord, the church can take care of this need. And he said,
yes.
And you'll stop the people from being able to receive and give out of their lack.
Come on, amen. That makes sense. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, guys, that's probably enough. Okay. Jesus. Hallelujah. If you wanted to give, you can get an envelope and put IOU and then we'll go to your house and pick it up. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, oh my gosh, okay. Man. You know, it takes one step of faith to start the process of debunking a lie. Wow, and this is the process. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, wow. Honey, do we have any needs? We all have a lot of wants, God is so good. Hallelujah, Jesus. Listen, if you need prayer for anything also today, when we close today, please come down for the prayer team. That's what we're here for. God will meet our needs. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I had somebody say they needed a Thanksgiving dinner also, so obviously we'll with the people's, with their approval.
I should mention that, you know, a couple weeks ago, someone came up to me and they said, you know, Pastor Nicole, we do all these Christmas boxes for across the world, but what are we doing for people in our church that aren't going to get Christmas? And I said, well, you know, I said, ironically enough, we as a staff just mentioned some families that we knew of in need. And I literally had a check written for $1,000 this morning that said, here, these are for people that are in need for Christmas. We had people at Thanksgiving. There's been some people that didn't have money for dinners. People have been coming up to me, giving me cash.
Yeah, yeah.
Please take care of this for that family, but I don't want them to know it's me. That's
so,
our grand opening.
So with their approval, we'll pay the rent. and can we use some more to help people with Thanksgiving dinners? Is that okay?
All right.
Is that okay?
And some Christmas. I'm thinking that it's abounding to much.
Okay, yeah.
Amen?
That this abounds, yes, to
Thank
much.
You. Thank
Amen.
You.
Wow.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Church,
give God a hand.
You did
this
amazing.
Morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're like the church at Corinth. Oh, Father, I thank you for all those that have given God out of their lack and out of their abundance. God, I thank you for speaking to the hearts. And that, Lord God, just exposing the lies of these counterfeit truths, God, that people can be blessed. And God, I thank you that we are blessed. We're blessed when we give, Lord Jesus. You said that. It's better to give than receive. And God, I thank you that when people are blessed, God, hallelujah, tears start to run. It feels good on the inside. And on top of that, God, you said that you will give it back. It's not needed, but it's what you do because you love us so much that you give it back to us so we can continue to give even greater and give even more. Now, thank you for blessing those, God, today. And thank you for exposing the lies today. People are set free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for blessing them this week. God, I thank you for families, Lord God, to be renewed in this Thanksgiving season. Families, Lord Jesus, that haven't seen each other. God, I thank you that a phone call supernaturally will be made, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, that families will come together that have not been together, Lord Jesus. I thank you for it, God. Families restored at this Thanksgiving season. Thank you for testimonies coming out of that right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for blessings. I plead the blood over their lives, Lord God, this week. We give you praise for it all and thanksgiving for all the testimonies coming out of this need, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. We have a baby dedication real quick, but you are dismissed. We love you guys. Nicole, come on up.
Come on, Danae and Jonathan, come down. Those of you as a family of faith that would love to stay to see Jonathan and Danae and their family dedicate, you're welcome to stay. Come on down, big family. Oh, Danae, she looks so beautiful. Go. Della. Is all your family coming down with them?
No.
Okay. Well, before you today, we have Jonathan, Danae, Della, and of course we have little Roxy. We can't forget her. This is number two that we're dedicating for you guys today. What an awesome thing that you would stand before the church again to proclaim your commitment before God and before your family of faith. But before we do this, Danae, I understand that we don't have just one little miracle. We have two miracles because the devil came after her life, if I'm understanding correctly. So why don't you tell us just what you went through just a smidge?
So at the beginning of my pregnancy, I started having some pain, and I had to rush to the ER. And at almost 8 weeks, we got the unbearable news that they couldn't find her heartbeat. And so Jonathan and I decided we were just going to go straight to prayer and fasting for the next week, even though the doctor said, you know, just be watching out. You're probably going to, you know, start miscarrying, blah, 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 all that. I said, I do not accept that. I know that God is the giver of life, and he gave me this baby that we've prayed so long for. And after a week, we went to our follow-up ultrasound, and they told us that they found her heartbeat.
Man, hallelujah.
And that it was strong.
Yes.
And then the devil kept fighting.
That's
okay. Part two.
Yeah.
I had a really horrible pregnancy, and I was in and out of labor for the last 2 months of my pregnancy. They told me that she was asynclitic, which means she was not straight in the birth canal. Like, she was kind of cockeyed, her neck. And I had a really horrible time pushing for over 2 hours, and they had to vacuum her out. And she was completely lifeless when they vacuumed her out.
My gosh. Wow.
And we watched the team resuscitate her. And we had no idea what was going on. We did not expect that. And then we heard her cry, which was so great, but they told us that her umbilical cord was only supplying 5% oxygen to her towards the end, just all the stress, and it was wrapped around her neck 3 times. So, it should be supplying between 95 and 100%, but guess what? No brain damage. No lasting effects. God is so good. And I told him that I would give this testimony once we came out on the other
side.
Come on.
So. Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Woo! God is a good God.
Yes,
amen.
He is. We never give up.
Oh,
ever.
My gosh. It just reminds me that the devil doesn't come after anything that isn't valuable. If it doesn't have a price, he's not coming after it. And I don't mean that bad, but there's things that each one of us are called to do, and every child is purposed and planned by God. And when they are, the devil knows what that plan, and he comes for it. And good for you, being the parents. Your commitment to stand in front of these people today, yet again, is proof that you are the ones God's chose for Della. Maxine, who will serve her purpose for the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, so I want to charge you, as I charge every parent that does this. Deuteronomy 6 says that you will teach them to love the Lord your God with all your soul, your strength, and your heart. And that the commandments that he gives us today are to be upon our hearts, that we're to impress them upon our children, that we're to talk about them day and night when we sit at home or we walk along the road or drive for us today, when you lie down and when you get up, that you are to share of these glorious miracles. Oh, Maxine, that you are a miracle, little one, and that God has a plan for your life. Raise them like they are on loan by God, because he trusts you. Your church trusts you. And we know that you are purposed by God for these two girls, but especially for Della, for such a time as this. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we dedicate Della to you today. Father, that she would serve you at an early age. God, that she would know about your love, that she would accept you as her personal Savior. Lord, that she would fulfill the purpose of God on her life. Father, that you would protect her and keep her for all of her days. Father, that no harm would come nigh her. No accidents, fatal accidents. God, that you would protect and keep her. Give your angels charge over her in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for Jonathan and Nay. God, that you've given them what it takes as parents. God, that you didn't just entrust them with this arrow, but God, you equipped them. God, that you chose them to raise her because they can, and you believe in them. Now, God, when there comes situations that they don't understand, Holy Spirit, begin to speak to them and open up their hearts and their minds and give them the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and revelation that they would know exactly what to do with these two girls that you've entrusted them with, each one so divinely unique with its own purpose and its own call for such a time as this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, church, we love you. We'll see you on Turkey Tuesday at 7 o'clock. If not, happy Thanksgiving.